This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi everyone, this is Paul Simpson, manager at Carlisle United, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast.
My name is Jamie Devitt.
My name is Maddie Robson.
My name is Chris Phillips.
My name is Paul Anderson.
My name is Mark Boyd.
Hello, my name is Derek Combs.
My name's Toby Show Silva.
My name's Greg Abbott, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast. Enjoy.
Buongiorno, you all right, mate?
Yeah.
How are you?
Not too bad, how things?
Oh, you've got a new job.
Yeah.
Well, it's all going on. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. It's been a busy week, you know, where we've just seen the last ditch podcast that came out with a squad list. That's interesting developments. Obviously, we'll talk about the charity match. I don't think we've really spoke about the location or anything yet. We've already done a lot of social media stuff.
Yeah.
We'll dive into the podcast properly. I'll kick things off properly. Reed Murrays, how's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 152, and I am absolutely buzzing to be joined by two out of the three men that I love to call the Cumbrian Brain Trust. That's right, we're missing one leg of our milking stool this week, unfortunately, but it's all part and parcel of the game. But we have got Wills and Liam. How are we doing, lads? You all right?
Yeah, not bad. I feel like we've got maybe more happy things to talk about.
Do we?
we scored two goals.
That's one way of looking at it.
There's a point, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to forget about the fashion of which it became a point, but...
Yeah. I mean, I suppose I kind of like not seeing the dropping of two points as much of a thing, since like I think like we're down either way, so it's not as big a kind of like gut punch. It was horrible at the time, but after a day or two, I'm a bit more like, oh, no. Some positives there.
Yeah, you know, we'll talk about some of the positives, because there is a couple of positives to take away from it, I'm sure. I'm sure the comment section will be all right, won't it, Liam? It can't be too bad this week. It must be a little bit better. Before we dive into that kind of stuff, we've got traditions around here, lads, and that can mean at this time of the show, it's time for one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Blue Army Podcast. Joke of the week is... I think he's trying to. It's the Blue Army Podcast. Joke of the week. Right, boys, I've got something extra special for you this week. We'll see how this one goes. Jesus, I've got the sweat on for this one. I hope it goes all right. A woman in Barrow got on a bus with her baby, and the driver says that is the ugliest baby I've ever seen. And the woman goes to the back of the bus and sits down, fuming. She turns to the man next to her and she says, "That driver has just insulted me." The man says to her, "You should go over there and give him a piece of your mind. Don't worry, I'll watch your monkey."
Right.
That was all
it
right.
It was nowhere near as offensive as I thought it was.
Yeah, we can't go too blue. We can't go too blue. But lads, you know, it's often the time of the show after the joke of the week where you say things and you pick things up. And I thought that was a bit of a rocky one this week, a bit of a long one. But lads, it is time for you to tell us all what's been happening here. What's been happening there? In the League One roundup with Liam and Wills. Or is it more of like an EFL roundup these
days?
Well,
Liam, do you want to start seeing as you're actually going to talk about League One?
Yeah, Wills is going to want to talk about something a little bit different. But in terms of League One, I've kind of... and the National League. But in terms of League One, I'm not going to look at the top end because that's completely irrelevant to us. I'm going to look at the relegation fight and the teams that could be joining us in League Two next season. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think that there isn't too many teams left in it. It's going to be from between 24 and 19, all of them clubs are still in it. Or maybe 23rd to 19, actually, because I wouldn't say we were in it anymore. Mm. Any of the following of these clubs, three of them will go down. It's Fleetwood, Cheltenham, Port Vale, Cambridge, Burton Albion, and if Reading get another points deduction, possibly them as well. At the minute, it's us last in 24th, Fleetwood 23rd, Cheltenham 22nd, Port Vale 21st, Cambridge 20th, Burton 19th, Reading 18th, with Burton and Cambridge both being 3 points outside the relegation zone, with Reading being 5. Is it 5? No, there's 6 actually. But, you know, with the points deduction, they could end up even below us, you know. They're completely a basket case for a club at the minute. And even the likes of Fleetwood and Cheltenham, who were once kind of cut adrift like we are now, you know, Fleetwood are only, what, 5 points from safety? You know, anyone could stay up and anyone could go down, apart from us who are 10 points behind Fleetwood. Yeah. But that's...
Fleetwood's forms... kind of interesting as well.
Fleetwood are weird because lost any of the last 5, but they've only won one. They just seem to draw every single game, which is, to be fair, they're not losing. They're a team hard to beat at the minute, and they're definitely climbing their way back up there. And they could be a good, you know, if you're a betting man, worth a fiver putting on that they'll stay up, because I can imagine it's very good odds. But looking at the weekend, Fleetwood drew 1-1 with Charlton. We drew 2-2 with Stevenage. Cheltenham drew 0-0 with Barnsley. Port Vale beat Burton Albion, a very big battle in the relegation zone. Cambridge lost 4-0 to Reading, another kind of interesting one at the bottom. And obviously, as I've just stated, Burton lost 1-0 to Port Vale. And Reading beat Cambridge 4-0. So, yeah, it's really interesting down that bottom end of the table. I just wish we were a little bit more involved, but yeah, any of them clubs could be joining us in League Two next season.
Well, I reckon we'd get the beating of most of them in League Two.
If we're looking at teams that we're going to be competing against next season, then unless obviously Reading get a points deduction and end up joining us in League Two, none of them are teams that you're going to look at and say, you know, they're going to immediately spend to, I mean, you know, I suppose they might, but...
Other than us, really.
Yeah.
I hope so, you know, they all come down, you know. Not because I don't like...
You're
Portland,
your
favorite, you know, because
you're your favourite club.
And... No, favourite away day is the correct answer there.
Down so you can, you know, come up and down with us. Keep your away day. Will, have you got anything for the league? No, what is it, League Two you're covering?
League Two, yeah. So opposite what Liam was doing at the relegation end of League One, I just had a little look at the promotion end of League Two. So the top three, Mansfield, Stockport and Wrexham, all look fairly commanding in those positions. They've been top most of the season. It's just a 3-point gap, but other teams have faltered a little and they've got games in hand. Then below them, MK Dons, Crewe and increasingly Barrow are starting to look comfortable in the playoffs with games in hand and a 5-point cushion. So one of those three may even have a shot at dislodging one of the top three, but I think it's probably going to be Mansfield, Stockport, Wrexham, and then one of MK Don's crew, Barrow, and then the fourth playoff spot, I'd say, is Crawley all the way down to Oldham. No, sorry, I'm getting my National League and League Two mixed up, sorry. Crawley all the way down to Newport for the last playoff place. Just below them, Morecambe were recently in with a shot of the playoff race, but they've lost their last four and fallen away. So it's good to see Morecambe are still doing those classic Morecambe things.
It'd be nice to play them again next year.
Mm.
That's one of my favourite away days.
Yeah, well, so I thought I'd have a look at, so like, what big spenders are likely to be with us in League Two. So like, see what you lads think are going to be looking to compete for us or with us for the kind of big players in the transfer market, assuming that we're going to be, you know, especially if we get money through Jared Branthwaite.
Yeah, I mean,
I hope Wrexham go up so we don't have to compete with them.
Yeah, I mean, like, they are in third place, so of the three, if one of them is going to drop out, it would be Wrexham. I don't think it's likely, but yeah, there is always that risk because they'd be very dangerous next season if they fail to go up this season.
Well, they might buy off our squad like they did that season.
Yeah, oh god,
they can do that from the league below. What are they going to be like from the league above? You know.
That's like, it's like what you've said about Wrexham. Like, there won't be like three teams better than us or bigger spending than us in League Two. So like, there's a very good chance of us just putting together a good team. We've already got pretty much the skeletons of a really good League Two side. So and there was some good glimpses against Stevenage, definitely, and he kept with that 11 for most of the game, and obviously only Diamond being the only substitution. So you know, it's pretty much everyone that started that game, you'd imagine to be a part of the team next season. Maybe not Armour. Maybe see what happens with Armour, but I'm pretty sure he's got another year on his deal. So,
well, other than like those, one big spending team that will definitely be in League Two next season is Notts County, who really had a terrible run of form and completely fell out of the promotion race that they'd been in for something like half the season.
It's mad. They've got brilliant strikers, haven't they?
And they're going to spend, you know, they're going to have money to spend next season. Also, Bradford, they've never got the most money to spend, I think partly because they sell their season tickets quite cheap. They've got a lot of ownership troubles.
You've got like Armstrong, Butterworth's really doing a job now. He should really like get better in League Two, if anything. And then, you know, we've got... what's he called? Coming back from injury, hopefully, to play
Georgie Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think Notts County might lose Langstaff as well. Like, he's their big guy. I think he'll probably be off in the summer to, like, probably a championship club. As a bit of, like, a Jamie Vardy type player, you know, big scorer in the lower leagues, you know, kind of thing. But
I mean, Notts County last season were able to sign players off, you know, well, Derby. So they're going to still... We've still potentially got that in him. I mean, when I'm talking about big spending clubs, by the way, Liam, I don't mean clubs that are going to come and pinch our players. Just more kind of clubs.
Yeah, I need to get out of the mentality of being scared of that because now
Liam. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, just kind of clubs that are going to be looking to assemble competitive squads. Crew, I think, have some sort of like recent investment. They're one of the teams that I think that'll probably make the playoffs. But I think
they're fourth, aren't they?
At the moment, they're fifth at the moment. But those three, along with Barrow, MK Don's crew, and Barrow are the ones that I think will probably be in the playoffs, and they've got a decent cushion. I don't know if Salford are going to be big spenders anymore, or because I think
Salford have kind of. I don't think Gary Neville's is involved anymore. Yeah. I think they've kind of lost interest in Salford, which
they
is maybe a bit harsh.
I mean, they've not put in as much money, and to be fair, it wasn't them putting in most of the money. It was that billionaire
And it wasn't working either, which, you know, like they never really came that close, apart from like finishing once in the playoffs kind of
thing. It was just a stupid idea, and I'm disappointed that they've put on a bit, enough good form to get away from the relegation battle. But, you know, yeah, they of all the teams in League Two, they're the one that needs shot of.
Them and MK Dons, I think.
Yeah.
They're the two.
Yeah, I'd say Salford City more. I can kind of forgive MK Dons now they've been around long enough, you know, to have a fan base that grew up with that as just their local team.
I saw a tweet or something a while ago that stuck with us, and it was every single club has earned their way into the EFL apart from MK Dons. So, yeah. It's they're a weird one, a controversial one, anyways.
Yeah.
It is a bit damning, it is a bit damning.
And another club with wealthy owners who, I think, again, aren't getting the investment that they used to and probably aren't going to be in League Two next season is Forest Green.
Yeah.
They've put up a bit of a fight, and Colchester is still within reach, but they've played a few games more, them and Sutton. But it looks like them and Sutton to go down, maybe Colchester, if they can kind of...
Yeah, that Troy Deeney appointing was just absolutely dumb. And like, they just appointed some guy that some people like online who's never coached before, who just immediately lost
vegan
every
club,
single
is
game.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. Are they supposed to get a new stadium as well, Forest Green?
Yeah, made of wood.
Yeah, no. but I'm sure I heard like last season that Dale Vince wasn't putting in as much money anymore, or he was kind of like stepping
good, because
I
was sick
something.
Of hearing about him. The whole thing of, oh, I won't wear a suit, so I'm going to go sit with the fans because they won't let me in the director's box. He was a proper, like, hippie, wasn't he?
And then the one, you know, the one kind of, like, club outside the Football League that are getting all the attention at the moment and that we will be playing next season and who will... probably have a bit of money behind them is
we're not down yet, Will. We're not down yet.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, Chesterfield have got themselves up, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. I mean, they've run away with that league all season, and they have been the one splashing the cash down there. There doesn't seem to be as many other clubs down there at the moment because they all managed to get into the league now. So, yeah, so 3-0 win at the weekend over Bourne Wood confirms that they're coming up. Below them, pretty much anyone down to Oldham could still make the playoffs. With Barnet and Bromley look comfortable in those, you know, the semi-final position. If you finish second and third, you go straight to the semi-final. Then it's fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, which is also Solihull Moors, Aldershot, Gateshead, and Halifax.
I'd love Solihull Moors to do it, you know.
They're the one team, I mean, I'd quite like to see Gateshead up.
Oh, yeah, them as well. But I think they're just outside of it at the minute, aren't they?
They're in the playoffs. They're because
But
it's
lower,
like
lower
the
down.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the teams that could be overhauled.
Out,
and then below them, Altrincham and Oldham, but also not Oldham, because Oldham are just 2 points outside, but on terrible form, so...
The Joey Garner honeymoon period's over for them, and he's stopped scoring and they've started falling off again.
Hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Hasn't
worked. I mean, if they turn it round, they are only 2 points off. Played the game more, but yeah, they haven't won in like forever, and the long wait for the promotion is going to go on for Oldham.
Yeah, Magnus Norman's their keeper as well, isn't he? Yeah. I think
not been promoted since 1992.
Well, it's going to be a long way. It's going to continue.
That was into the Premier League.
Yeah, we think we have it bad, Jesus.
It's very extensive, mate. Very extensive this week. But we did definitely get to find out what's been happening here. And what's been happening there. In the league. 1-2. And conference a roundup with Liam and Wills. Bit of everything this week, lads. Well done. Bit of everything this week. Now, I know, you know, we've all obviously settled into the fact that Max isn't here for this episode. And I have to apologise for that. Because at this time of the show, it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. But don't worry, lads, we've still got Max's £1 million idea. That's right, boys, we've still got one. Max has been kind enough to send us a voice note. We've done voice notes in the past, haven't we? They're not too bad. So I'll just play it in. It should be all right for the audio. See how it works.
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry I'm absent this week. However, the show could not go on without the £1 million idea. So, this week's idea comes from Jamie and Craig. I'm told it was a joint effort from them. Basically, they want to see the away fans closer to the Warwick. Maybe in that sort of right-hand side of the Pioneer. I think it's not going to be able to screen a lot.
I wonder what the police would think about that.
I don't know what the logistics of that would be like and how popular it would be, but I'm looking forward to hearing all your opinions on it.
He's listening, lads. Yeah. He's definitely listening. So what were you saying, Will?
If we can get the waterworks open more regular, then that'll kind of like provide, you know, if they're like thinking that they want the away fans to be a bit more in the mix and not away where
off the pitch.
Yeah, where there's people in the East Stand will have banter with them. But you know, you saw kind of what it was like against Bradford. Probably like the official line in the police would be kind of like, no, that's not what we want. So you know, they
that's
might
a mental
actually
idea.
Not allow. Yeah, they might actually kind of like be told that you can't just do that, but yeah, like I say, if the waterworks was open, then you kind of can't avoid that. And it does kind of add to the atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a case of maybe they just want the away fans closer to some rowdier home fans. So, like, it's not so you're shouting across a pitch at each other. There's a little, like, sort of, like, help towards the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this idea
a bit more
is
fiery,
totally
potentially.
This idea has totally come from the Warwick Road lads who already stand.
Who want to fight.
Who already stand at the closest bit of the Warwick Road end to that corner. So, they're like, oh, Bring them over here so they can hear me.
I like the idea that they keep the like wheelchair part in between it as well, so that it's just like people throwing things over the little shelter in the middle.
I mean, like, yeah, maybe the waterworks idea would be a bit less. There is, you know, maybe the waterworks idea, but the waterworks just needs work done at the end of the day. If you're going to turn it into something, it does need a bit of work. But I'd imagine, because they're building more hospitality and things like that along the East Stand, I'd imagine they want to keep the East Stand home fans and turn that into the new sort of like hub of like a higher end of version of the hospitality that they've maybe already got. I think they're looking to add like an extra upper end category over on the East Stand potentially. So they might want to turn the whole thing home, turn the waterworks into something where the away fans can go.
Yeah. Plus, if you were going to go with Max's idea, you'd have to turf quite a lot of season ticket holders out, because I think there is quite a lot that sit down in that part of the Pioneer Stand near the Warwick. So, you know, it would be unpopular with a lot of people. Probably just cause more trouble than it's worth for the police.
They tend to put the like the kids that play football at half time.
Yeah, they're down there as well.
Put them in there as well, and I think that's obviously because they are they have the shortest distance to go to get to the little pitch they set up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the functionality of it. So yeah, maybe the waterworks would have the less impact if you just redevelop that and get them over there. And then, you know, people can buy, because it'd be a new section then, wouldn't it? Like over there in the East Stand, and people can buy tickets if they want to be closer to the away fans and start their own little fiery section. Maybe outside the Warwick, maybe. You know, maybe the Warwick lads become the East Side Boys or something. I don't know.
The East Stand Boys. They did try and move there once before and it didn't work. Well, not the same group of lads, but the same category of the loud group in the Warwick Road end. Their predecessors.
Yeah.
Who are probably kind of in their 20s now.
Well, the East Stand did used to be a bit more fiery than it is now. Like, definitely.
Different people. Yeah, I've been in. I used to go in the East Stand when it was one of the first stands I went in. And because it was closer to the away fans, you did kind of get the, you know, the we have a go, lads.
Well, that's where I'm at now.
In that corner. Yep, see?
In, like, that part.
Is. Have a go, Liam.
But Wills is right. It's not the big, like, fiery bit that you do. You get a few shouts either side, but
yeah, I mean,
like I'm sat like really close to the away fans as well, and there's not really too much trouble, which is probably a good thing. But
I think there's a benefit as well to having that interaction around a corner rather than two sets of fans side by side with the you know, with the net in between, because it's always kind of like some poor little lady who's just right by the netting and is kind of like
getting the brunt of it.
Yeah, getting the brunt of it. Or just like some fella with his kids and he's kind of like just in the wrong place and there's not much you can do about it. He's the one that the other set of fans single out and start singing about. Yeah. So and you know, you've got to turn away from the game to shout. So yeah, you can kind of like see it being a bit better if it was like across a corner.
Mm.
Well, you know, it was good. Max isn't here, but we still had a good time. It's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It was Max's million-pound idea. Beautiful stuff, you know, beautiful stuff. The presence of Max is still very much alive and well. Right, lads, this is normally the part of the show where I do some Carlisle United-related news. There isn't much of it, to be honest. It's only Monday, you know. It normally takes a couple more days for the sort of like midweek news to come out and loan reports and that kind of thing. But I will say that there has been a financial report for the year the season 2022. 2023, Carlisle United reported a loss of £665,000, and it's you know, caused a few alarm bells among some supporters. But when you really understand what's been going on, you know, this is all pre-takeover. It's been reported by Nigel Clibbins, in fact, that the Patayaks have since put in a cash flow of £1.3 million, and obviously the fact that that pure pay debt won't be accumulating any more interest, because that was the brunt, unfortunately, of most of the deficit of the 22-23 season. There was massive wage cuts along the way, apparently, from the previous season, going from 3,600 to 2,900 on average, apparently. So you know, it was penny pinching times, and you know, you can really see that Paul Simpson did pull off a bit of a miracle last year, and it's going to be really interesting to see the financial reports next year. Obviously, seeing the impact and the transfer that we've just seen here in January and things like that, and just seeing what kind of investments the Patayaks will be making. There's been further speak about the training grounds being improved as well. There's investment being seeked out for that. There's local sponsorships being offered out for training ground investments and things like that, opportunities being offered. So you'd imagine that's getting really close. But lads, other than that, there isn't that much news to report, other than a bit of our own news. It's charity match season. That's right, lads. Towards the end of the normal football season, charity matches up and down the country kick off for various amazing causes, and we've entangled ourselves into a rivalry with one of Carlisle's most popular podcasts, The Last Ditch Podcast. We'll be facing off against a full squad that they've announced actually this evening at the time of recording. Liam, you weren't very impressed by it earlier on.
Whoa, don't throw me under the bus there.
But you know, you've got a bit of pedigree behind yourself and in the family. We're not going to announce our own squad, but there is you know, Denwood Senior or you know, Liam Senior, JB will be entering the fray for us. He edits your YouTube videos, and obviously I've met him on a number of occasions. Will's met him on a number of occasions. He's a lovely, lovely man. I don't know if we've spoken about him before here on the Blue Army podcast, but what was his what's his background in football?
Well, he played a bit for Working Reds, got a trial at Carlisle, but then knackered both his knees that ruled him out for about 2 years. But now he's making a redemption, coming back onto the field. He's played since, to be fair. I'm making that sound like that was the last thing he did. But he's football crazy, he's football mad kind of thing. He's still got it between the sticks, I tell you. I know, because he really puts me to shame. I used to play net a little bit, and there was you know, I was not my father, you know.
were you planning on playing, Liam? Were you planning on playing in the game?
I'm going to be defensive mid. I've never played there before, but it should be fun.
Is this fancy some defensive mid duty?
I just thought that sounds a bit of me. That's that was the whole thing behind it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been my phone's been going off during this podcast. I think Max has been scrambling to sort of like get squad numbers and sizes and things like that together. But what else is important is that, you know, I'm getting a bit old. I don't think I'm going to be able to play like 90 minutes or something. So we're going to be doing rolling subs, just so people know. Will, what position do you fancy yourself playing in during the charity match?
Well, I'm kind of left-sided. Forward, kind of, you know, the
left Sadio Mane type player.
like hugging the wing, dear. Like hugging the line a bit.
No, don't hug the line.
Amari Patrick type.
Maybe I'm Amari Patrick. Not what Amari Patrick wants to be, but what Amari Patrick actually was.
I mean, I'm hoping to just sort of like play a lazy target man position up front, but judging by the recruitment that we've got so far, that position might be filled potentially.
Well, you know, like you say, rolling subs.
Yeah, rolling subs. That's right, rolling subs. I think, like, yeah, I think I'll try and start the game and I'll try and finish the game, but there'll be a long period in the middle. Well, you might see me at the bar, maybe. You might see me at the bar. but yeah, it's going to be exciting stuff. We're going to announce our sort of squad news next week, I think. We'll get obviously the information, what position people are going to be playing in and stuff. We're just a ragtag bunch, aren't we? Our squads. We don't want to reveal too much just yet, but it's a bit of just like pulling in all of our mates from here and there, and various backgrounds. The Last Ditch podcast though features a couple of YouTube personalities. I mean, Liam, do you know much about this CU04? Like, is he a formidable opponent?
I don't know what he's like on the pitch, but I've done a collab with him before. He's a nice enough guy, but you know. That's left off the pitch for times like this. He took my crown as the most subscribed Carlisle YouTube channel. So, you know, we've got to make it up in different ways. You know,
that's why you want to play centre of the pitch.
Exactly. But yeah, no. Well, he's, you know, all jokes aside, he's a nice enough fella. So, you know,
we're all looking forward to it. It's taking place at Gretna's Rydale Park. It's going to be on the 18th of May. And we're raising money for Mind and Andy's Lonely Man's Club, or Andy's Man's Club. Kickoff's going to be at 3 o'clock and tickets are available. I'll put a link in this episode. I'll put a link in future episodes. They're available via Skiddle, basically. I think it's called the Content Cup. I think they've ended up calling it in the end because it was going to be the Carlisle Clash, but things didn't quite work out. But we'll do a podcast with The Last Ditch and we'll talk about that kind of stuff because it'd be fun to sort of dive into sort of the background of what it has been to set up this event so far. We'll explain things along the way because when we reveal our squad, there might be a couple of surprises, but we'll explain why we've been allowed our surprises. And maybe you'll feel like the fair is, because we feel like it's quite fair, don't we, lads?
Do we?
It's going to be a fun game.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a fun game. But yeah, that's the news. Obviously, the charity match is taking place once again on the 18th of May at Gretna's Rydale Park. Kickoff's at 3 o'clock. Get down there early. There'll be food, there'll be beverages, and there might be some entertainment of some kind. You know, we're in the early days of organising stuff. We might get a DJ down, might get some face paints or something. I don't know. We might do some Splat the Rat, you know, some traditional carnival stuff that you see in the fan zone, you know, that kind of thing. It's going to be a great day, and we're raising money for a fantastic cause. Tickets are £5. I think there's a £1 booking fee on Skiddle. I'll find out for you next week if they're going to be available just to buy on the door for £5. I'll find out next week for you. Also, we've been gifted some free tickets as well. I'll reveal all about how to get your hands on those free tickets and how those free tickets were donated in the very near future. We'll reveal all on that Last Ditch podcast that we end up doing that collab on in the very near future. But yeah, thank you very much to the mystery donator. I'm sure he's maybe potentially listening, and we'll give you all the credit you deserve when all can be revealed a little bit more later down the line. Sorry for being cryptic. Something that isn't, or something that still is actually quite cryptic, is a game that we like to play that has the longest name you've ever bloody heard of. But before we start playing that game, gentlemen, it's time for a few words from a couple of our sponsors.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All right, lads, here we go. It's time to play the game with the longest name. It's the official Blue Army Podcast higher or lower style game. But it's Carlisle United squad FIFA stats, and this time it's relation into a certain year and certain FIFA. It's FIFA 2013, and gentlemen, there is still one equals now. That's right, guys. There's still one even Stevens left on the list. We still haven't found the even Stevens. It's a higher or lower game, but there is one equals now. So, gentlemen, normally at this stage, we decide between three of yous who gets to go first and who gets to go last. But there's only two of yous, and Will, you're on my left, yeah. And Liam, you're on my right. And I like my right more than I like my left. So, Liam, you're going to go first.
Saves time.
Will, you're going to go last, but you get to stay on until both men have been defeated. That's the added benefit of playing the game with the longest name. When there's only two of you get to stay on to the very end. The name that we kicked off, Liam, with last week, that ended with last week, was JP McGovern. His overall rating is 60. So, do you think Paul Thirlwell is higher, lower, or even Stevens with JP McGovern?
Higher.
You've almost had like a mental flash in your head, and you've just like gone with instinct. You've just gone with instinct.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, sir, your instinct will be rewarded because that is correct. Nice, well nice. Done. Paul Thirlwell is higherly rated than JP McGovern. Will, we're over to you. Higher or lower than Paul Thirlwell? James Berrett?
Yeah, I feel like James Berrett, being a flair attacking player, probably going to be higher than Paul Thirlwell.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That's your final answer. You're going to say higher than Paul Thirlwell? Yeah. James Berrett. It's equal.
Oh.
It's finally, we got another pill. It's a bittersweet pill.
Captain Sideways with a high rating.
It's a bittersweet pill because you've got past the equals now, which is always a bonus when it comes to FIFA higher or lower. But we've lost Will, unfortunately. But it's time just to hand over to you, Liam. You're on your own. We'll see how far you can get, as Will has quite literally left you on your own. We'll see how far you can get. We'll go from James Berrett to Chris Chandler. Higher or lower? Because there's only options now. It's just higher or lower. Is Chris Chandler higher or lower than James Berrett?
To be honest with you, I've won every single round of this FIFA, and every single one's been a guess. So what was it? Berrett Chris to Chandler. Chandler.
Yeah.
I've heard of Chris Chandler. But Will seems to think it was quite... Thirlwell was quite highly rated. So I'm going to say lower.
You're going to say lower, mate? And you'd be correct, sir. Congratulations. You march on. So we're going to go from Chris Chandler. Was he higher or lower than Danny Livesey? Club legend Danny Livesey.
Danny Livesey's got to be higher, hasn't he, surely?
I'm going to say Danny Livesey was higher than Chris Chandler. You'd be correct, mate. Well done, well done. You march on, you carry on. From Danny Livesey, higher or lower, Sean O'Hanlon?
Lower.
Lower. Saying lower than Danny Livesey. And you'd be correct, mate. Well done, Sean O'Hanlon.
I'm still well considering. I have no idea where any of
these people are. Smashing through it, mate. Higher or lower than Sean O'Hanlon, Mike Edwards?
No, we've come to two that I've never heard of now. Who are the names again, sorry?
They've gone from Sean O'Hanlon to Mike Edwards.
Mike Edwards doesn't sound very good. Slower.
You're going to say lower.
I mean...
Oh, God. Am I saying something stupid there?
No.
Is
well,
it lower?
I mean, kind of, because you're wrong, but... unfortunately. Yeah, you are wrong, unfortunately. Mike Edwards was more highly rated than Sean O'Hanlon. Lads, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 left. What was that?
I was just saying... I'm not surprised he was highly rated, but yeah, Liam's right. He didn't do well for us.
He doesn't sound very good. Judging purely from his name, he doesn't sound.
He did. It'd been at Notts County for years and was like a really kind of rock for them. Oh, okay. And then we signed him and he just didn't do well at all. And then he went back to Notts County.
Yeah.
And did well there.
It was an unsuccessful, very unsuccessful experiment, Sean O'Hanlon. Experiments, unfortunately.
You can tell a lot from people's names, I'm telling you.
Sean O'Hanlon, baby.
You did okay, though, mate. You did okay. You went on quite a run of form there, and you've piled through them. You might be able to complete it next week, lads. I've got full faith that maybe when you're back to full strength, you'll be able to complete it next week. But we'll move on to the match report, boys. It's match report time, and we'll look at Carlisle United's 2-2 draw that happened this past weekend at home against Stevenage Town. And as I always do, I'll give you the lineup for the Carlisle United on that day. It featured Lewis in goal with a back five of Ellis, Barkley, Lavelle, Mellish, and Armour, a midfield three of McGee, O'Neill and Charters, and a strike partnership of Armstrong and Butterworth. Butterworth being injected back into the side, deservedly so. And it's had massive impact. He scored two goals on the day, one of which very early on that's been commented to potentially be Carlisle United's most stylish goal so far of the season. It was really good work from Ellis to get in the right position down the right hand side, get deep enough into the box, and then play the ball expertly across the goal. He might have gone for a shot himself and you couldn't have blamed him, but he played it expertly across the goal and it was dispatched by Danny Butterworth. Liam, you got a really good view of the waterworks end and obviously the ball and the run coming in from Ellis from the east stand in your lovely plastic seat. How was your view of the goal? And would you add to the comment that, yeah, potentially the best goal that Carlisle has scored at Brunton Park this season?
It's the best kind of like team goal we've scored this season, certainly. But yeah, on the plastic seat thing, it's the only plastic seat in the row that doesn't have a cushion on. So,
it
hasn't
seat.
For about 4 years since I got the season ticket. So, Carlisle, please sort my seat out. I've complained enough. It's been a long time. But yeah, it was probably the best goal we scored this season in terms of like how well worked it was, even from just the passes around the box trying to find a way through. Because there was a lot of passes before that goal went in. It was where we were kind of like, we were just kind of like what Arsenal do, where they just kind of like pass it around the box, try and find an opening. It was that kind of thing.
The
lovely pass through.
Probably the Arsenal of the year. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I think it was Neil, Charters to Neil. Neil pass through to Ellis. Ellis cross across the box to Butterworth. Just a good team goal.
It was a good team goal. And it's almost like you were singing the Ant and Dec song there. It's like, Beckham to Heskey.
Was that the joke I missed?
No, it was. Did you ever watch IT Crowd? You'd have been quite young when it was on.
I know what it is, but I haven't watched it.
All right. Do you know about the how to talk football thing?
Oh, I do know. That. Like the fake advert.
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Problem with Arsenal is you always put Walcott in too early.
What's Wenger thinking?
What's Wenger thinking, putting Walcott in early? No, but good stuff. It's not an advert for IT Crowd, though. But I do like IT Crowd. It's a great episode, that one, actually. Lads. We'll move on because in the second half, Carlisle United went from good to great, and they had a two goal lead for the first time at Brunton Park this season, I believe. From
Shrewsbury.
What's that? Shrewsbury. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Shrewsbury. But this For me, it was a typical League One style goal. It was a poor clearance from the corner, and it was hooked in after a bit of a loose touch from Danny Butterworth. It came in off the post, and this time, Will, you had a spectacular view of the goal itself. I mean, how did it look for you? But you've got to say, you know, Stevenage looking a bit stiff there, slow to get out to him. It's a bit of a heavy touch, but he does really well with his chance.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really beautiful goal, and just the, you know, the way he kind of curled and hit the post, it's like just a really nice finish, really crisp finish. We're on cloud nine at that point, turning up two goals from Danny Butterworth, who had done some other really impressive stuff before that in setting up other players, because we did have some, you know, we did create some chances that we should have finished earlier on as well. We could have maybe been 3-0 up. And Butterworth wasn't the one to miss those chances, but he was involved in the build-up, and him and Armstrong seemed to be working really well together. So at that point, I felt like, you know, 2-0 up was the least we deserved.
Yeah, we were the better team.
Mm.
But then things went south.
And, you know, we haven't complained about a referee for a long time on the Blue Army podcast, but we're about to complain about this call, most definitely. McGeoch did go sliding in, but it's hard to see contact on the replays. Liam, from your view, was it a penalty or not?
I think on the day, watching it live, I thought it was, but having watched it back on the highlights, I now don't think it was. Just because I've, is it McGeoch or Milish that goes sliding in? He seems to. It's a weird one because I don't. The referee doesn't give it straight away, does he?
No, it's a silly. So
it's a weird one because the referee doesn't give it straight away because he can't see it. So I don't know who's convinced him to give it afterwards. Whether it's the players shouting at him or maybe a little nod from the ball official or the linesman or anything like that. But it just like I don't think he. He didn't have the confidence in the call to make the call, I don't think.
It's a bit of a clumsy challenge from McGeoch. Like, so
it is.
I think those kind of things, the referees are going to, you know, tend to be a bit more biased against if it, because it's one of them where it looks like the sort of tackle that could have been a bad tackle. It's just, in our opinion, we don't think he made contact with the player. And, you know, even down at the Warwick Road end, somebody thought the player had just trod on the ball. There's something about the way he goes over that just doesn't look like a player that's been tackled. But again, not totally surprised it was given, though, just because the whole thing just looked a bit clumsy and legs everywhere. And the player goes down in the box and the referee's just, you know, because referees probably aren't 100% certain on most of these things. And probably if you go in sort of like sliding in the box and the player goes down, then, you know, whether it was a fair challenge or not, you know, there's always a high chance that the referee will give a penalty.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, mate. You're absolutely right. And unfortunately, McDonald stepped up and scored the penalty, sent the goalkeeper the wrong way. Unluckily, Carlisle United, just a few moments later, a fantastic ball through from Taylor Charters, which found Diamond through on goal. He just couldn't round the goalkeeper or find a way to put the ball past the goalkeeper, unfortunately. But if Carlisle United went 3-1 up, you would have really fancied them to have gone on and claimed all 3 points. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. And then deep into injury time, it just all fell apart, didn't it, lads? Unfortunately, the 2-goal lead was swallowed up and in the same way that the poacher swallowed up his opportunity. It was a bit of a ricochet, unfortunately. Carlisle United just couldn't clear the line and, you know, potentially just a bit sloppy and slow at the back. Maybe tired legs. That's what's been said in the press over the weekend, that there's a lack of fitness, potentially some tired legs being shown in the squad. But nonetheless, gentlemen, things ended a stalemate, a 2-2 draw, unfortunately. Just the 1 point for Carlisle United. But it means that we're not doing it out just yet. We might yet limp on onto Retro Kid Day without being swallowed up by the drop. So exciting times, exciting times. But we're not going to do our predictions just yet for the next game, which is actually Petersburg on Friday anyway away. We're going to listen to what some of the listeners have to say about the result against Stevenage. We're going to go over to Liam because it's just you this week. Liam, that's got a bit of a comment section going on for this one. And the listeners' match reaction to this weekend's 2-2 draw against Stevenage.
Yeah, okay. Not the happy comments section today. Steve Miller, who I think is a Stevenage fan, says it was a penalty right in front of the ref, which, you know,
wasn't right in front of him.
Right,
no, that's just
that was half the problem. It was quite a way behind. Yeah,
that one's just a lie, a straight up line. we should have made more subs to waste a bit more time. Put Gibson on and McCalmont. Which is, you know,
I agree with that. Yeah,
it's
not to waste time. I think we just could have made changes. We had
I agree with him, but he's right for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I would have liked to see maybe Emmanuel come on,
just for the height,
and to just kind of, you know, run upfield with it. I feel like he's the sort of player who'd be quite good at just keeping the ball up towards that corner.
Mm.
Okay. Carlos Jackal just puts two words, Jordan Gibson.
Yeah, that would have been maybe someone else. That would have been better holding it up in the corner, maybe.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were surprised that Jordan Gibson didn't come on, maybe with us, like, especially when we were 2-0 up and had the potential for it to be a comfortable day for us. Okay. You know, Stevenage didn't really threaten us all that much up until the penalty.
Well, they had 3 shots on target. One was the penalty. One was the shot the keeper pushed away for them to score the third shot, which was the goal.
Yeah. So say 2 shots, but that's like a double save.
Yeah.
A double shot. Yeah.
So they really didn't trouble us. But, you know, this leads nicely onto there. I criticised Harry Lewis a bit in my video. And Carlos Jackal again says, I'm glad you brought up the Lewis crack. He is about 6 out of 10 at best. Is it time to feel the breeze? I think I'm finally coming round to it, you know.
Yes, mate, it's time. It's time. There's nothing to lose in just giving Gabe a couple of games, man. I mean, what are you going to wait for us to actually be, like, definitely going down? And then it's sort of like, Harry, do you want to go on holiday a week earlier and let Gabe have a couple of games or something? No, just give him a chance, man. Give him a chance. Let him get in there while there's still a little bit of competitiveness around the squad. Let him get some experience. And, I mean, it's only going to help him get out on loan next year if you can turn around to a conference team or another League 2 team that's a bit lower down.
He should be on loan. Well, we've had this discussion. I don't think he should go on loan next year. We can't loan him to a League 2 team.
That's what's been touted, though, hasn't it? That's what's been said. That's what Simon's actually said.
I mean, if we loan him to a League 2 team, we can't get him back.
I imagine it's got something to do with his deal. Like, if he's not playing as number one, I imagine it's got something to do with him re-signing that contract, is that they've got to try and get him a loan deal.
It's just, I don't... Is the market there for a loan keeper?
Not,
I feel like it's only really...
It's always emergency. That's where the opportunities are. It's always emergency.
And would he be better off as our number two?
Yeah, because if he goes out on loan, not many people bring in a loan keeper to be their first choice. They usually bring it in as like a, like what we did with, what was it, Jensen and you know,
Anderson.
The other guy from Sheffield United, kind of thing like that. People only bring loan keepers in to be second choice, so I'd rather he was ours than somebody else's.
And I've made myself clear about, like, not loaning players to teams in the same division because it always backfires. If the player
just turns
if the player turns out to be good, then you lose him. Like Bradford with that fella that went out on loan and...
Oh, Brad Young.
Yeah, but is he injured now anyway? So
yeah, they did it before that as well. Was it Owen Doyle?
Oh, yeah.
They did exactly the same thing. I think that was Bradford anyways.
Yeah, to Bolton?
No, to Swindon again. They did the exact same thing with the exact same club, I think.
is that all of it? You got some more?
If he's going to go somewhere, maybe Scotland, it would have to be...
Be first choice at Annan, maybe. Yeah. But that's maybe a little bit below his level.
Below him, yeah.
That's it, below him,
I think it should be in the Scottish Championship.
Well, send him to the Reds.
I'm off.
At least Scottish League One.
But, I'll finish it on this one. It's quite a long one from David James. To give
the
context.
David James.
I don't think it's the David James.
It is.
It's actually David James 3787. So you know, if that gives any more clarification there. He says, because I criticise the player's mentality a bit. I agree with your comments regarding mentality and the talking up of the opposition. As you say, as far as the penalty is concerned, there wouldn't have been a decision for the referee to make had Mellish intercepted the ball seconds earlier. I thought Butterworth was excellent today. I also think we look better with McGeoch in midfield. At least he can retain possession and pass without losing the ball. Why he hasn't made more starts is a complete mystery to me.
Injury, didn't he? And then...
Well, yeah, that's the big thing. But he's been back quite a while now. Just not even being scored.
Yeah, it's just kind of like... It's always difficult to kind of like when to bring back players from injury and, you know, when are they fit, I suppose.
Yeah, when can you actually play a full 90? When do you need them? Yeah, it's all important. Nice. Thanks very much. It was good. It was varied. I like that. There's many accounts and many different points of views from the comment section this week. Thank you very much for all your comments, as always. Lads, we'll move on. We'll do our predictions. We'll do it for the Good Friday game. This is away against Peterborough. It's going to be difficult, lads. Peterborough are in the playoffs. They're firmly in the playoffs. 9 points within the playoffs. And sitting quite comfortably in fourth position. They've been playing good. They're looking good. And it might be a loss for Carlisle for me, unfortunately. 2-0 to Peterborough is what I'm going to have to say. Liam?
I'm going to go with a bit more optimism. I'm going to say a spirited 1-0 defeat.
Oh, okay. Nicely said. Yeah. Nicely said, though. Liam? Sorry, Will.
I'm going to say that we're going to keep up the good play from most of the Stevenage game, but see it out and pick up a surprise 2-1 win with goals from Armstrong and Butterfield.
Ooh, tasty.
Bill Butterworth.
Yeah, we signed a new player in Butterfield.
It'd be nice for those people that have at least made the long journey down to Peterborough as well to be rewarded with a victory. But I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be a difficult ask, a tall order, unfortunately. I like your optimism, though, Will. I do like your optimism. Mm-hmm. And you'll need to be optimistic as we go in to start playing everybody's
Guessing the player.
Here we go, guys.
Oh, guessing the player.
Guessing the player. Right, boys, it was going to be me versus guessing Max, to be honest, in a tie that would have seen the last two players that have got 3 points in the last two games go head-to-head. But unfortunately, Max has been substituted and I've been blindsided with the opponent, which is now Wills. You're going to slot in very capably into that position. It's a very quick rematch, though, between the two of us. We've played each other quite recently, but Liam, you're going to clue guide us through this one. I'm still confident, you know. I'm not on a massive winning streak. I did get that massive 3 points recently, but I feel like I've been clawing my way towards the top of a imaginary league table.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised now if you were suddenly top. We have no idea. We don't know how many times each other's played each other. So
that's right. I mean, it's pretty even.
It could have been like Liam versus Max about 10 times by now. We've not noticed.
I mean,
more than anyone. Yeah.
Crazy. I feel like it's pretty well spread.
Looking forward to the end of the season where we can have a look at the league table. If somebody's listening and wants to make that league table for us,
nobody's going to do that.
Please,
we won't do it, so they're not going
to
do it.
Yeah, I can't blame anyone for not wanting to do that. But you know, it's time for me to put my pen down, put my notes down. I've got nothing else to look at. It's time for us to play guessing the player. Liam, you're the clue guide, sir. I was going to be the home team against Max, so I think I should still be the home team against you, Will, since you've only stepped in to take Max's position. I'm the home team. I'll get the opportunity to go first in this exchange. So Liam, sir, clue guide away.
Okay, a slightly vague first clue. This player scored his first goal for Carlisle away at Morecambe.
I'm gonna say the player you're thinking of is Billy Painter.
No.
Never
heard of him. Okay, Will.
Just a bit of a guess in terms of a goal scoring player. I'm gonna go with Hallam Hope.
No.
Ooh, not a bad shout though.
Yeah. One I have heard of, thankfully.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking, like, what players has Liam heard of? Especially now I've realised you'd never heard of Sean O'Hanlon. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I'm a young spirit. Okay, I haven't been following for that long, but this could this will give a bit more context as to when this player. I know my history, kind of. This player signed his first contract with Carlisle in February 2019.
February, so a bit of a rescue job, a late one. 19. Was that 5 years ago now?
I will add that it was a 2-year deal with an option of a third.
Ooh. Well, can't sit in it for too long, otherwise, you know, it gets boring to listen to. So I'm just gonna try and just come up with something a little bit instinctively and go with what's it called? Aaron Hayden?
Nope, not Aaron Hayden. Will?
I'm going to go with, was it Amari Patrick?
It was not Amari Patrick. On the last clue, which I think might give it away for Liam, to be honest with you. This player has one of the highest potentials on FIFA for a centre-back, being rated 77 with a potential of 86.
What?
So he's 77 rated with a potential of 86. And he's a centre-back.
It has to be Jared Branthwaite, doesn't it?
It has to be Jared Branthwaite. It is Jared Branthwaite. That's a point on the board.
Picking up a point. That was a good one, though. It was a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to do Jared, but I didn't want to make it super obvious.
Yeah,
because it's easy to make it obvious.
Speaking of which, we never mentioned it, but congratulations to Jared and James Trafford being in the England squad. Two Carlisle products in there.
Is it tomorrow? One from Durham, one from the Belgium game.
Sorry.
Is it tomorrow the Belgium game?
I don't know.
To be honest with you, I don't really keep up to date with England.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
well, I will see what the lineup is. Hopefully, they'll be able to slot in because I know that Harry Maguire's left the squad.
He has. Yeah.
So that might have an impact. And, you know, we might see Jared get an opportunity and that'll be a lot of fun. And then we'll be able to guess the value of Jared Branthwaite again next week, potentially.
Well, probably Everton have put 80 million on it themselves now. So,
yeah.
Well, that'll all depend if they stay up. You're
apparently involved. So.
Yeah.
The whole thing will revolve around whether Everton stay up.
Yeah. But at least we know how much Everton value we
have. It won't affect his value that much if he don't stay up.
No, it'll make Everton.
I think it will because Jared will be desperate to leave if they go down.
Yeah.
And they'll kind of have to sell him, so they won't. It's like when Shaqiri went to Liverpool when Stoke went down.
But
it decreases your value because you're not as valuable for them to stay.
Yeah, fair enough. I won't argue. Fair enough.
Well, because clubs know that you need them off. You know that you need the money, so they won't offer you as much.
Yeah.
There'll be a bidding war, but you know you kind of like think that
limited.
You know, none of the clubs want to bid more than the and there's sort of like a.
It goes from about 80 to 50, doesn't it?
I think so. Oh, I don't know the numbers, but I can imagine.
Something like that.
Well, lads, it's nice to get another point on the board, building still some momentum towards the end of the season, where I'm sure we'll have a tally at some point and we'll figure out who is actually winning, guessing the player towards the end of the season. We've still got, what, we've got seven games left to figure it out?
Something like that. Yeah, seven.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Max said he
would do it.
Yeah, Max said he'll do it. I'm sure he can do it right now while he's organising kit sizes and stuff. Well, lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. It really has been, as always. And there isn't really anything else left to do apart from saying bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.